It's an honor and a privilege to stand before God's children. Some take it for granted, I don't take it for granted, to share what God has laid in my heart to share with us. The Lord is good. We preach different kind of sermons, faith, healing, the prophetic, end time prophetic. Today will be different, and you will know why in a few minutes. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for counting us among the living. I want to thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Because of your faithfulness, even when we are not faithful, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ and the sound of my voice. Everyone that's hearing me, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus upon myself. I plead the blood of Jesus upon this seat, upon this environment, in the name of Jesus. Let the word of God go through, be a blessing to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 29:29. Please could you put that up? God is good. Deuteronomy, sometimes that verse, my tongue kind of ties up, 29. So the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which he has revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Amen. The title of my message today is called Herbs, Healing for the Nations. Herbs, Healing for the Nations. A little different. But in a little while, you'll know why I'm going to share this with us. Some of the challenges we face as people, sometimes it looks like it's unsurmountable. But God has made a way for it and every situation we confront in our lives. Can somebody say amen? I said each and every situation, we just got to look for it where it's at. That's why I first read that scripture. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. I'm going to go a little fast. If you need a pen and a paper, please raise your hand up. There are certain quotations I'm going to give you. You may want to note it down and go and check it out. Everything I'm going to share with you from the depth of my heart is what I know and it's fact. And you can go check it out. The Bible tells us the Bereans, when they were preached to, they went to check and see if these things were true. Amen? So that's why I'm giving you that opportunity. If you need a notepad, just raise your hands, please, real quick. If you have nothing to write down, you definitely want to write something down because you want to go check it out if what I'm telling you is the truth. But it's 100% truth, nothing but the truth. The good thing about here, what the Lord has helped us, we can tell you the way it is. You may take it or leave it, it doesn't matter. But your blood will not be required at my hands. If I know something that will benefit you, I owe it to you to tell it to you. It's a choice you have to make. Take it or leave it. Just like we all have to make choices about where we want to be. Heaven or hell, we make choices. Genesis chapter 1. On the third day, verse 9 I read. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the garden together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and fruits, tree yielding fruits after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Amen. I jump to verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree
in the earth, in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to all, to you it shall be for meat. In other words, it's your food. Amen? He said, it's your food. Eat it. Praise the Lord. In Hebrew, in Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14. Leviticus, I'm not going to read the whole script. I'm not going to read all for brevity of time. There's some important facts I want to give to us that will benefit you if you've never heard it. In the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy 14, the Lord established certain things that he told his children to eat and not eat. Amen? God who created the heavens and the earth, he said, eat this, don't eat this. Let me, for brevity of time, you can read those scriptures yourself. I'm not going to read it through. I just gave it to you so you can take a note about it. He named some animals clean and named some animals unclean. He said, don't eat these unclean ones and eat the clean one. Among those that he said we should eat, he said the cattle, the deer, the sheep. Among the birds, he talked about chicken, the pheasant, and turkeys. Insects, he means those in the family of locusts. Some of us who are from Africa, there are certain times of the season when certain insects fly out in the Yoruba land. They call it esunsun. I don't know. They catch those things and they're delicious. Doc is looking at me. It looks like you've eaten a few of them yourself. Am I right? Do you know I'm talking about somebody? Yes, indeed. Praise you, the Lord. He said they could eat it. Those are in the insect category. In the seafood category, he told them, he said, eat the scaled ones, don't eat the scaled ones. Said, eat the bass, eat this, and this, eat that. In the sea, there are certain ones he said, don't eat. And that category, lobsters, shrimp, all those quote-unquote delicacies, he said, don't eat them. You think God who created these things, he knew what he was doing when he said, don't eat them or eat them? You'll find out in a few minutes. God didn't just set up shop yesterday. Your body and my body is wonderfully made. Amen. And if we heed his health laws, we will be the better for it. You say this is unusual in the church. Yes, it's unusual for us to talk about these matters. But you know one of the greatest challenges we have as human beings, as in the ministry that we run into, is people with health challenges. Sometimes we pray, nothing happens. You cry and cry, nothing happens. Praise the Lord. Question. Did Jesus abolish these forbidden foods? In Mark chapter 7, 18 and 9, he was telling the disciples. Mark 7, 18 and 9, see the same thing in Matthew chapter 15, 10 through 11. He wasn't abolishing those laws. He was teaching. He said, Christ, he wasn't abolishing them. He's just saying, hey, the human beings were taking their human traditions and elevating it beyond God's word. Thou shalt not do this, do this. Pharisees came along and started changing rules. In Acts chapter 10, 11 and 12, Peter saw a vision. You remember that's when also Acts chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. I'm not reading it just for brevity of time. Because when I get excited, I seem to talk a little fast. So that's why I'm... Peter was in the house, I think it was Cornelius, and the birds, he was thirsty, he was hungry, and the birds of different animals came down and said, eat. He said, no, I ain't eating this stuff. This is unclean stuff. Jesus said to him, don't call what I've clean, don't call it unclean. Was he talking about his health laws? No. He was just talking about the Jews and Gentiles that God grafted in. That don't call them common. Jesus, through his mercies, he grafted us in. The original tree was the Jews. Can somebody say amen?
and the message of the gospel got transferred to you and me by his mercies. Hallelujah. So we're talking. That's why he brought that up in that. If you read the whole thing, that's where it comes from. Paul, in Romans chapter 14 and chapter 15, you see, read it down, you can go read it yourself. Paul talked about eating and the like. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. Don't judge me because I eat this or don't eat that. In certain cultures, they eat certain things that God has forbidden. God is in that scripture. He's saying, don't make an ism out of it. Because you decide to drink soda, I shouldn't come and put a sledgehammer at your head. Hey, don't you know that this has too much sugar? That's what he's talking about in that scripture. So we don't make an ism and begin to think because of food or one kind of food, this person will make heaven. No, that's what he's talking about in Romans chapter 14 and 15. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Because a lot of us are Bible students. Am I right? Amen. Read it. Romans chapter 14 chapter 14 and 15. The Gentiles were grafted in into the tree by his blood. In a society that we live today, does it mean that if you eat a lot of these things that are forbidden, that you make heaven? No. Well, there's probably a reason why God said we should avoid them, we shouldn't eat them. We're going to talk about diseases that afflict us. What is the, show of hands, what is the fastest growing demographics disease affecting the black community? Fastest growing disease, according to statistics. Anybody have an idea? Yes. Okay. Numero uno. Yes. Cancer is the fast among blacks. Cancer is the fastest growing. When you hear of cancer, what comes to mind? Talk to me, somebody. Death. It's like, oh my God. But there's a name above every name. There's a name above every name. And he has made a way of escape in the name of Jesus. I'm sharing this information with you because some of us, you know somebody who knows somebody who is affected by this debilitating disease. They call it disease. We come to find out through research. Is it that there's no cure for this disease? You think there's no cure? We're going to see some facts in a little bit. I want to address this because, listen, I'm accountable to this assembly as an elder in this church. What I know, let me share with you, because nobody's blood will be required out of my hand. Something happened a few years ago. A sister came to me and she said, oh, she found a lump in her breast and she said, Lord, pray for me. I got down praying and the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said I should quit praying for her. That I should go pray for her mom. That blew my mind. A few weeks later, I didn't know. A few weeks later, the mom was in the emergency room. I said, Lord, I didn't share some information I wish. So I did. I went and said, look, I'm sorry. This is what the Lord told me, but I tell you because the Lord had revealed this thing. Your mother will not die. She didn't die. And the information I had on my hand, I gave it to her, and she was grateful the mother survived. Praise ye the Lord. So I'm sharing this with us so that nobody's blood will burn my hand. In 1971, a war was put together. In his 1971 State of Union speech, Richard Nixon was president.
And he put in place, let me read what he said. In 1971, in his State of the Union address, President Richard Nixon promised Americans that he would begin an extensive campaign to find a cure for cancer. He added, "The time has come in America when the same kind of concentrated effort that split the atom and took man to the moon should be turned towards conquering this dreaded disease." 46 years later, listen to this, more than 40 years after this one cancer was declared, we have spent billions fighting the good fight. The National Cancer Institute has spent $90 billion on research and treatment. As a result, we know much about the disease than we once did, but we are not much closer to curing it. After spending that kind of money, I want to listen to, when it comes to treating cancer, this is an MD, I'm quoting him now, Dr. Ronald Haberman. When it comes to treating cancer, we seem to be in a holding pattern. We are still relying on surgery, chemotherapy, and other anti-cancer drugs and radiation, just as we did 40 years ago. We are stuck in a paradigm of treatment, says Ronald Haberman, MD, the former director of the University of Pittsburgh Cancer Institute. Listen to what he said. And our treatments are not working. They are not working. Have you ever got the campaign, Susan, whatever, Kuman, run for cancer, pink rainbow, and you donate to it and stuff like that? How many have done those runs and given money for cancer research? May God help us. You will come to understand what is happening in this country. Nobody cares about your health better than yours, than yourself. Nobody, not even the government. I'm going to lay it out. And I'll give you websites, you go research it, what I'm going to tell you. How many of us know was alive when Ronald Reagan was president? The 40th president of the United States. Show of hands. How many of us know that he had cancer? Show of hands. Show of hands. So you see, in this audience of 100 people, nobody knew. At the beginning of his presidency, 1981-82, that this man had deadly cancer. Nobody knew. He survived it. That didn't kill him. 19 years. You know what he did? He didn't go the normal route of chemotherapy and everything. Ladies and gentlemen, there is cure. God, a name above every name. He has made a way of escape for the people of God. I said he has made a way of escape. That is why I owe it to you. You are blessed this morning to hear what I'm telling you. Because most people, they hear cancer, they're wrong. They think it's the end of the world. It's not. It is not. I went to, let me read this to us. This is on PubMed.gov. This is number one clinical research site. Gold standard in the world. I have doctors here and pharmacists. They'll confirm what I'm saying. Am I right, doc? Dr. Alina's looking at me. Since former President Nixon declared the war on cancer 4 decades ago, the cost of treating cancer has increased dramatically as a result of new diagnostic treatments and technologies and pharmaceuticals and biological treatments. The annual cost of cancer care in the United States exceeds $124 billion in 2010 and is projected to be $773 billion by the year 2020. That's a lot of money. Let me cut to the chase. It's all a scam. It's a revolving door. Every time somebody comes up with a cure, between the FDA, the politicians, and Big Pharma, they shut them up because it's a big
money-making machines for the powers that be.
The practice of medical oncology involves the administration of chemotherapy and supportive medications such as growth factors, which have led to many private practices. Here's what I'm saying. The chemotherapy concession is the source of approximately 65% of the revenue in a typical oncology practice, dwarfing the income from evaluation and management. I'm saying to us, this is PubMed.gov. In other words, the oncologists in private practice, 65% of their income comes from the sale of chemotherapy drugs. If 65% of your income depends on this, would you tell your patient the truth? A lot of doctors have sworn to the hypocritical oath to find all cures and any cure, whatever it takes to cure their patient. But because of big pharma and the money is involved, they don't. Please, when you have a situation, advise what I'm saying to us. Let me just make a disclaimer here. What I'm saying to you does not preclude you from seeking medical attention. But there are natural cures out there. By happenstance, a few years back, I started reading and researching and saw a few things. And then situations around causes us as shepherds to start looking. What? There has to be something out there. There has to be something out there to help God's people. And then somebody dropped a book in my lap. This lady, very famous writer for children's books and stuff, struck by colon cancer, stage 4. The doctors gave up to die. Long story short, did research here and there. She started with a regimen of juicing. Carrot juice. Just simple carrot juice. Juicing it. Long story short, 8 months later, there was no cancer. None. They couldn't find it. I said to us, if you go on the website, any website, type in these words, FDA, politics, and money. FDA, politics, and money. You get the facts of what I'm sharing with you. Big Pharma, between 2009 and 2011, spent $700 million lobbying the Congress. $700 million is not a small chicken feed. Amen? It is not. Listen to this. 27% of FDA administrator reviewers, that's those who approve chemo drugs and oncology drugs, between 2001 and 2010 went to work for the pharmaceutical industry. These are people who are supposed to regulate these things. They go to work for them. What's in it for them? A certain doctor, Dr. Carl Streeter, like Street with an R, Carl Streeter, go on the internet, you find him on there. Got to treating patients with cancer written off. He went to Mexico, learned a few things. He started practicing. Indiana. I think Urquhart, Indiana. The power of the FDA, they came down on him because he was getting over 95%.
he would break FDA back, he would break Big Pharma. Let me read something to you that the administrators of the FDA, they will not give to an individual patent when they find a cure. So I don't, let me quote it correctly. This is Dr. Richard Kraut. Dr. Richard Kraut in 1982 in a Spotlight magazine. He said, we are going to make strict guidelines. He said, I never have and never will approve a new drug to an individual, but only to large pharmaceutical firms with unlimited finances. This man I was telling you about in Indiana, they locked him up. They came into his office, tore the whole place down. If the government is after you, no matter what you're doing, they will find something, yes or yes. They will find something. It wasn't because he wasn't getting cures. He was getting cures, all right. But Big Pharma, the powers that be, they don't want you healed. As what we are practicing in America today is symptom management. Ladies and gentlemen, your health is in your hands. What you eat, what I eat, plays a major role in our health. You see why I read the previous scripture about, put it this way. This Dr. Carl Strait was put to jail. He wrote his whole story. Go on the internet, read his story. It's there. Right by a doctor goes to prison, still 18 months, not for what he did right, because he was doing cures, healing people, not the conventional way approved by the FDA. And what is cancer treatment approved by the FDA? Chemotherapy. Have you known somebody went through chemotherapy and what happened to them? Horrible. The side effects are debilitating. If you have a health condition and by God's grace you're able to find a natural herb in nature that can handle it, you are better off. A few weeks ago, I pulled my back and I took a pill of ibuprofen. I was telling my wife, each time I took that thing, I developed bumps. It clears off after about three hours. Every time. I said, my goodness. Praise ye the Lord. I hope I'm not putting you to sleep. I want you to also check on the internet. Trying to find his name now. Burzynski, 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 Texas. State of Texas versus Burzynski. There are cures out there. Found a cure, but they went after him for frivolous things. It was just in March 2017. They set up juries four times. Nothing. His patients, watch it on YouTube. You'll be shocked. I'm sharing this thing with us because there is hope. God has made a way. You may not be affected, but you may know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And guess what? Most foreclosures in America today is because of medical bills. Amen? Bankruptcies, medical bills. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So what are the where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? As Christians, as members of this assembly, we confront health situations that sometimes are scary. I remember a few years back, one of the items that God listed that we should not eat was snail. Snail. You know snail? We eat a lot of snail. Now, I remember there was a TV probe. There was a CDC short clip that came out in Houston, Texas. This lady from Nigeria brought these big snails. And was, you know, and people were, oh my God. The CDC went after to get this, find the snail. Because they discovered that this snail causes cerebral spinal meningitis. Snails. Snails. I said, I was telling my daughter that was a novice. I said, I mean, we eat this thing all the time. It's a delicacy. Nigerians, am I right? It's a delicacy. It's a big deal. But see, I mean, one good thing about a lot of these researches that is taken out here, the researches are thorough. Yes or yes? They are thorough. But I thought it was a joke. Found out Jesus, who created the heavens and the earth, it's one of the things he said we shouldn't eat. Isn't it interesting? You go to eat food and they put a slice of what's that thing? Bacon. They charge you an extra dollar for it. I mean, they charge an extra dollar for something God said don't eat. What other things do they do? All the junk stuff, they charge you for it. How many of us love lobsters? Huh? Jesus said, why did Jesus say don't? They are the scavengers of the ocean. How many of us in Nigeria like eating that fish, that slimy fish, big or bok? Huh? It's that big fish. It's called catfish. Oh, it's delicious. But you know what? It's part of what God said we shouldn't touch. Because they are scavengers of the ocean. Oh, my time is running up. Let me share something with you. Listen to this. I'm going to read from here. Now, cancer. Itself, there's a root cause of cancer. What we are seeing as cancer is just a symptom. Cancer is a systemic failure, a breakdown of the body's regulation of cell growth and cell destruction. Nutritional research shows that dietary ingredients alone can restore the body's power to regulate cell creation and cell death. What I'm trying to say is this. There's an aspect of science called epigenetics or nutrigenomics. How what we eat is expressed in our genes. What we eat, our genes are predetermined. Am I correct? You have kids who are same identical twins. Sometimes when they get older, they look different. They're different, not in facial appearance. It could be their health. It could be this. What is it that makes them different in characteristic? Because these are genes, though they are set, they talk among each other. The study of how these genes are talk among is called epigenetics. They talk. So that somebody is like if you have a rogue cell, and in the body that is cancerous, it cannot replicate by itself. It has to work in conjunction with the neighbors. If the neighbors say, you ain't getting here, it's not going to happen. The foods, natural foods that we eat, regulate these talk. They can turn off a switch and turn on another switch so that the cancer or any disease does not express itself, does not manifest itself. Is somebody with me?
As a general rule, where do we go? First, I want us to pray. You have a situation there. God has given us a prescription that we should pray. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Next, let us watch what we eat. Time doesn't permit me to go through a lot of what I have here so that it's better understood. See, there are switches through our bloodstream and what we eat. There are switches that can be turned off and not on. There are genes that are predisposed to certain diseases. Then they talk to somebody and say, oh, his mother had this and this and that. It doesn't have to happen to you if you are able to know what to eat to turn off and turn on those switches. It's like a piano, an organ, regular organ. Have you heard of somebody playing and the notes are not good? You get a tuner to come tune it. The food we eat tunes. They tune it. So that's, oh, now it's a well-running machine. So that it's like you have a kid who is a truant in your neighborhood. What do you ask us, most of Nigerians say, don't hang out with that boy. If you see him, you go in this direction. If I see you with that boy, I thank you for you, Nigerian parents. If I see you with that boy, I'll take off your neck. Let me bring you here, I'll take you back. True? So if you see, if that same thing, this genetic talk between genes happen in our body all the time. Through our bloodstream, these chemicals are able to switch off and switch on, just like in a bad neighborhood, some neighbors say, you know what, that's that boy again. Let's call the police. Somebody will sit on TV and say, don't worry, he'll be okay. Same thing's happening in our cells. The study of how this talk, epigenetics, is determined, what we eat affects it. So you can switch off and switch on. Young folks here, let me, as a general rule, if you have a health situation, go do research. Go to your doctor. Let them find out. That's why. Please, don't forsake going to see a doctor. Jesus, one of the disciples, was what? A physician. He was a doctor. Amen? He was there. God has given them the knowledge to know some stuff. So you do a blood work and some's there. You can then try to find out the natural cure. Something you can eat to turn off or turn on certain genes in your body so that it doesn't express itself as a symptom. Praise ye the Lord. I said, please, Benny, put on that picture. I told you to put up. As a general rule, a lot of us don't eat well. The blander your food is, the worse you are eating. Your food, to eat well, you have to have a rainbow coalition. Put that picture up, Benny, please. Eat as close to nature as you can find it. Am I making sense? Eat as close. God has made everything so beautiful. Now, when you are able to find this, there are so many things out there. If you are able to juice it up, drink it, you see a difference in your health. This lady I was telling you about, all she did was juice. After reaching out for cancer and everything, all she did was juice, carrot juice, for 8 months. Cancer free. And there are several cases of cancer like that that I read through with notes on what they did to cure. And it never came back. 13, 19 years, nothing. So there's cure. There's a name above every name. You know, I look at this book in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. He says, he saw up there. Please leave that picture up there. He saw this tree that produces fruit all season, all year long, for the healing of the nations. In heaven, there's no sickness. Is there sickness in heaven? You see somebody who see becomes a young, he's a young man. So I was thinking in my head, what could God be meaning by this? We pray, as it is in heaven, so let it be. What I got out from that is, listen, there are natural cures on earth. If you juice them with a blender, 8 months. Anybody have any situation, just start juicing. There are there's stuff out there that you can juice and juice and juice. You will find. And maybe you could try it and give us testimonies of a few things that were challenges you had, and instead of juicing this and juicing that. We all know this water leaf in Nigeria. Water leaf in Nigeria. Very rich in cancer ingredient that kills and tunes up this our system, like I'm telling you. The same thing. Let me list some of them. It says carrots are one of the foods that, used in large enough quantities as medicine, can achieve this retuning. They might do it for you. If they don't, try avocado, cabbage, broccoli, sprouts, spinach, grapes, and a host of others. Just juicing. What I found out was some of this juicing, throughout my story, I found out it basically did was, it's like having a blood transfusion. They found out that some of the atomic structure of some of them is just like in the blood. So in the juicing process, it goes to your bloodstream and tunes and talks to each other. Hey, don't let that rogue get in here. Keep him away. Because certain genes are more predisposed. What a wonderful name. The name Abba. He has made a way of escape for all of us. This lady I was telling you about, 8 months, 5 pounds of carrot juice, about 3-4 cups every day for 8 months, clean. And there are several other cases of cancer. I'm sharing this with you because I have researched it and I found it to be true. God has made a way of escape for us. If I don't share with us in this church, I shouldn't be an elder in this church. That's where. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to share some of the information I have with you. It's amazing. It's amazing. In all these things we are saying, there's no more how much things you eat or don't eat. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you may be as healthy as you want to be healthy as an ox. Better make sure you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord commands all us. He said, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I pray for our kids. Please listen to mom and dad. Eat. Stay away from these processed foods. What did I say, kids? Stay away from processed foods. They do more damage. And this thing takes time. So that when it's late, then they start putting this chemotherapy and all that stuff. It may be too late because it takes a while. What has happened takes a while in your body or in my body. So they have to use sometimes chemotherapy to. Somebody described the chemotherapy. You say it's like having people playing a football game and a game they're not playing too well. And the coach takes a gun and shoots all the players. That's what chemotherapy is. There's a name above every name. There's a name above every name. If you have not accepted Christ into your life, please don't step out of this assembly without knowing him personally. What an honor and privilege that God has made a way for each and every one of us. God bless you. God bless you. I want to pray for these young ones. Father, in the name of Jesus, all our children, Lord, disease will not infiltrate their lives in the name of Jesus. Sickness will not cause their parents to run helter-skelter in the name of Jesus. Health and wellness is yours in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. All glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray.